SBS Radio. Mr. Landgraber, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program. A bit about yourself and your career. You are a TV reporter, retired TV reporter and filmmaker.
Yeah. Perhaps you know that German public TV is not only a political program, but a cultural and a historic program as well, and a scientific program. And in the first years of my career, I was a reporter for political main issues like weapon export, like war and peace, like the political impact of what we export to many countries in the world, like weapon systems and so on and so on and so on. So later in my career, I became head of a department of documentary programs, which produced, among others, historical programs as well. And as such, I got acquainted with what happened during the years of the Armenian genocide. And I was really shocked reading what happened there, really, because in the German public, many people know that there had been a share in that criminal act by the emperor, Kaiser Wilhelm II, but they didn't know what I found out later, that two big German arms companies like Mauser in the area of small arms and Krupp in the area of cannons and high caliber shooting of artillery and so on, were involved in that genocide. Perhaps you know better than me that it was not necessary to shoot people in that genocide, but the weapon were used to accompany Armenian people to desert areas in Syria, in the later Syria, and they accompanied them by using the force of weapons, like Mauser guns and so on, so that they took care that no Armenian would have the chance to escape. And that was where the weapons were used, and the cannons, the Krupp cannons, were used in a large amount when the Ottoman troops tried to hinder Armenian fighters from fleeing from the Musa Dagh, which is the Moses mountain, and escape to French battleships which were waiting in the small gulf in South Anatolia. And they fired with these artillery guns and killed a lot of people there. But more than 4,000 Armenians escaped, which was the good news. So German weapons were used in the large scale in order to perpetrate this genocide. And this is really a chapter of shame for Germany and the younger German history. And that was my aim to make public, because the public did not know much of it up to now.
When Germany started arming the Ottoman army?
Very early in the 19th century. The first weapons were delivered in the year 1883 with a contract between the Mauser factory in a small town in southern Germany and the Ottoman Empire. You know that Kaiser Wilhelm II was a very narrow friend to Sultan Abdülhamid II, and Kaiser Wilhelm needed the Ottomans for the upcoming First World War. Many, many political analysts say that this war came up, and many, many people knew that it was going to come up. So Wilhelm and his staff officers, like the later Field Marshal von der Goltz, Colmar von der Goltz, knew that they would have to have an ally for the upcoming war with Russia. So they did everything to have the Ottomans as friends and allies on their side. And they did not hesitate to deliver a lot of war material to the Ottoman Empire.
So the Ottoman army was mainly supplied by Germany?
Yes, yes. The specialists, the experts say that by the year of 1915, when the genocide against the Armenians reached its first peak, the Ottoman troops were up to a share of 3/4 equipped with Mauser guns. So that was a total amount of up to 1 million guns and carbines and pistols and so on.
German officers were involved, as you mentioned in your report, in the logistics of the deportations, and mentioned the construction of the Baghdad Railway. How did the railway play part in killings of Armenians?
Yeah, it's very simple, because when you planned a war, which later became a world war, you have to supply the transportation ways. And the First World War started in that region, in the Black Sea, with an attack of Ottoman and Prussian warships against Russia. And if you want to begin a war, you have the material for it right on your side. So they transported all the war material with the Baghdad Railway and had it right when it was needed. So that was one of the purposes of the Baghdad Railway and the construction. And many of the staff officers were doing services along the trail of the Baghdad Railway, and they had to care for the just-in-time delivering of weapons and ammunition on that war theater, which turned out to be a big one, one of the biggest ones of the First World War.
German officers also directly participated in the killings, in Urfa in 1915?
Yes, that's right. There was one major, was a count, Count Wolfskehl, who started to be a major in one of the staffs of a division of the Ottoman armies. I think they had 5 different armies. Army number 5, which were situated in Damascus or in Trabzon and all of these bigger towns in the eastern parts of the Ottoman Empire. And many staff officers like majors, lieutenant colonels, colonels, brigadier, generals and so on were doing their service in the Ottoman division army staffs or in regiments or in battalions or in brigade, which is commanded by a brigadier general. Many. I tried to count if it was possible to do, and found out that then 50 high-ranking German officers were doing their duty in those staffs. And many others were teaching strategy and tactics and so on in the Ottoman officer schools. And Kolmar von der Goltz, field marshal, started as an instructor in one of the officer schools, later became a general and field marshal and so on. And which was very important, because the Sultan needed German officers to reestablish the military structures of his army, his marine forces. And the Germans were very skilled instructors. And so it came that from 1850 on, more and more German high-ranking officers were needed to instruct the Ottoman officers. And some of the Ottoman officers who you can say were the perpetrators of the genocide had German instructors in their military schools. So you can say that German arms were the backbone of the materials which were needed in the First World War and for the genocide as well. And German officers, military instructors, were supplying the ideology and the tactical skills, which is a very important factor as well. So as a matter of fact, the Germans were deeply involved in the First World War on the Ottoman war theater. And German weapons were deeply involved in, well, all the cruelties which took place later on from 1950 on. The first massacres against Armenians took place, and that's what you know, took place in the year of 1895, which was 20 years ahead of the First World War. Mm-hmm. And my saying is always that somebody is a criminal who supplies weapons to an area from which you know that there will be a war later on, but it's still more a criminal act when you deliver weapons or export weapons to war theaters where genocides are taking place. And that genocides were taking place, the German government knew already in the year of 1885. So that was 30 years ahead of the First World War. Mm-hmm. That is really criminal. You cannot excuse this behavior with any statements of, I have to defend my territory, and so on and so on. There was no German territory affected. And what they did was weapon exports from the aspect of making big business on the one hand, and to keep a very important ally like the Ottoman Empire on their side. Those were the two main purposes. And they needed the Ottomans as well, and the Ottoman needed the German military aid as well. And they wanted to get rid of the what they call the Armenian danger, because the Sultan knew that they had to attack the Russians. And the danger was, in their view, that the Armenians would become allies of the Russians in the beginning First World War. And that was something which the Ottoman Sultan wanted to avoid at all means, that the Armenians would be hostile and would attack the Ottoman troops in their back. So that was always a reason which was mentioned when the cruelties against the Armenians needed to be justified. And that was something which I didn't know so exactly, which I learned later on with reading the main sources. So the fear of the Ottoman Empire was always the Armenians were a Christian nation, and the Ottomans were an Islamic nation, and Armenians would, on the side of the Russian, would fight against the Ottoman troops in their back. That was the big fear, and that had to be avoided. So the ideology, which was supported by the German instructors, was, let's get rid of these Armenians before they get hostile in a very open way and attack us. Whether this was really an excuse for the for the genocide, or even, well, a tactical aspect, I don't know. I'm not a military soldier or an officer. I cannot judge upon that. But would be a reason to attack the Armenians, it would not have justified the killing of more than 1 million Armenians, men, women, and children, as it happened later.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned sources. What sources you used for the research?
Publicly available sources, like books, which were on the market before I started my research. Mainly it was a book by the German author, journalist Jürgen Gottschlich, is his name, who wrote a book about the Prussian, the German-Prussian influence in the Ottoman army. And a young guy, a Turkish student, made a very brilliant dissertation, dissertation. And he made a very important work. He counted all the weapon exports by companies like Krupp, by Rheinmetall, by Mauser and other companies, and by exploiting all the public sources which said how many weapons were exported to the Ottoman Empire. And that was a hard work. The book is about 400 pages strong, and he did really a pioneer work. I relied very much on that book. Its title is The Amount of German Weapons which were exported to the Ottoman Empire between 1883 and 1917, shortly before the First World War ended. My research work was a very supporting and helpful research work of other guys ahead of me. And I was very, very happy to have such sources as well. There are many books about the Armenian genocide. It's hard to express because the people who committed the genocide were the Ottomans and not the, the Armenians, the genocide against, you have to say, against the Armenian people. But there was no book, no source up to that time when I started my work by December of last year, which reported about the German weapon exports. No journalist or military expert up to that time found it interesting enough to make an exact investigation about the German exports of weapons. I myself, who made films about German exports of weapons to all parts of the world, I was dazzled as well, because I didn't know that Germans exported weapons in such a big amount, which came out through my research, which was supported by the research of other scientists and journalists.
Mm-hmm. And some of the German officers later played a role in Nazi Germany?
Yes. Both the Ottoman officers who were educated in Germany as well, they were invited to come to German military schools in Berlin and Potsdam and so on, made big careers in the Ottoman army, and many of the German officers, staff officers, make big careers, like the Freiherr von der Goltz, who started as a young major and later became a field marshal, or was the highest rank in the Prussian army. And many of the German-educated Ottoman officers were becoming commanders of Ottoman armies, and one of them, Sefket Pasha, became the Minister of War, and a second guy who started as a major in the Ottoman army became a war minister as well. So they reached high ranks, and they were all educated by German instructors. Mm-hmm. So the German influence was very, very strong.
And later these German officers, some of them became part of Nazi Germany?
Yes, from the age of the guys, it is possible, because they mentioned Major Wolfskehl was a very young officer. He was below 30 years old when he participated in the Armenian genocide. And as you know, that the Second World War broke out only 2 decades later, after the First World War ended. And he was about then maybe 50 years old. But no one up to now followed his tracks in the Second World War. I myself, I did not either. So it would be worthwhile maybe to follow his tracks, what he did then in the Second World War. But there is a very strong link between what happened during the Armenian genocide and what Hitler then later, at the beginning of the Second World War in Poland, claimed which was necessary, because he referred to the Armenian genocide justify what he did with the Polish in the beginnings of the Second World War. He said he really referred to Armenia and said, okay, the Armenian genocide is forgotten now, and what we do now is to follow the pattern of the Armenian genocide to get rid of these Polish, which were in a similar position with the Armenians, because the Polish were a people which was right in the middle between the fascist government and army and the Russian army. And Hitler knew at a very early historical point that a war with Russia was inevitable. So what to do with the Polish who were right in between? So the first plans were to get rid of the Polish, like the plans were to get rid of the Armenians in the First World War, mm-hmm. which is a very dazzling parallel. And Hitler himself, and I quoted in my article about the Armenian genocide and the German assistance, Hitler knew that it was very similar in the military planning of what happened during this First World War with the Armenians. What the German public didn't know up to now as well. And it's very, very necessary to remind the people in Germany what happened there and then, and how much Hitler related to the Armenian genocide to justify what he did with the Polish. So that was one of the research results which I try to bring to the public.
And these days, the same thing is happening with German arms and Turkish invasion in Syria?
Very much so. Not so much with the Syrians, but what is done now in the country of Yemen in a dazzling way is very similar, because, as you know, German companies like Rheinmetall and others, aircraft constructors like Eurofighter and so on, equipped the Saudi and the Qatar army with guns and ships and tanks. And all of these weapons are now needed to make war in Yemen. And German ships now serve as, well, guardian ships to prevent the landing of weapons and nutrition things like bread and meat and so on, which is needed to avoid a hunger catastrophe in Yemen. And that is something which reminds me very much of the Armenian genocide, because what's happening there has a long, long history, more than 100 years now, and its effect is very similar to what happened 100 years ago. And mm-hmm. It is really threatening, because nobody knows it exactly, but everybody is behaving in a very strong tradition of weapon exports and war making and so on, as it was 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's really surprising, that nothing changed during that long period of time, and that nobody learned from it what happened then in those old days. Mm-hmm. And that modern war is functioning in the same way the other wars which were undertaken 100 years ago. And we try to remind of that fact in our work for GlobalNet, mm-hmm. Stop the Arms Trade.
Yeah, about GlobalNet, when it was established?
A couple of months ago. It's a very young project. It is world-spanning, because we try to motivate journalists in other parts of the world to share in that project, and we are a little bit successful in doing so, because a couple of people raised their hands and said, well, we want to share in that project in countries like Turkey now, and in African countries, for instance, in South American countries. So what we try to have at the end is a network of journalists and military experts who are able to ring the alarm clock when an expert of weapons and beginning war, beginning a civil war or something else, is evidently coming up. And public is a very strong weapon to mobilize public to avoid wars and civil wars, and that's our duty to inform as early as we can about upcoming weapon exports, like the big export which took place in the last two decades to countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the Arab Gulf Emirates, and to Turkey as well, which is a strong NATO partner, as you know, and German weapons, which ought not to be used in open war theaters, they are used now, the Leopard tanks, for instance, in the eastern parts of Turkey and the western parts of Syria. And we have laws in Germany which were made to avoid this. And what we learn now is that nothing is avoided, that the weapons are used in an open war scene. And it's very depressing, and what we try to do is to offend these developments, to avoid that German weapons are used in open wars.
Mr. Landgruber, thank you for your time and the interview, and mm-hmm. I hope your work and GlobalNet can make a real difference.
You are not situated in the capital of Armenia, but you are situated in Australia. Mm-hmm. Yep. It would be a pleasure for me to have you in Armenia in order to have a partner within the people of Armenia, to have you as an informer about dubious developments in that part of the world. Mm-hmm. So, but if you hear of any dangerous developments due to arms exports and coming up of wars like Indonesia and so on, please don't hesitate to inform me. Let's keep in contact.
Yeah, sure, all the time.
Okay, Mr. Kadib.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.